Welcome to a new episode of Routes Through Pokemon Adventures. I'm your host, Shea Locke.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Rosella.
And joining us today are our Poke friends, Piplup, Scorbunny, a winking Pikachu with a pumpkin, and an Eevee.
Hi, boy.
With Pokeball pajamas.
It's a sweater.
Pokeball sweater.
Pokeball pajamas.
You're so mean.
And together, we are journeying across the seas to islands that don't exist in the video games and eating a lot of fruit, apparently. And this week, we are also covering some more adventures of Yellow. So, this episode, we will be covering chapters 53 through 59 of the Pokemon Adventures manga. And we will be then tackling episodes Stage Fight, Bye Bye Psyduck, The Joy of Pokemon, Naval Maneuvers, and Snack Attack. But before we dive into all this, let's catch up on where people are at in Pokemon Go, Pokemon other video games, all that other stuff. Alright, so, as far as our efforts to continue in Scarlet and Violet go, we have not.
We've failed.
Rosella still has not caught up. She's been distracted with Star Ocean.
It's a fun game.
And in other news, I've been playing a lot of Prince of Persia and recently beaten it, but now found out that there's going to be some DLC stuff, including more story stuff, so I'm excited for that. I know that's not Pokemon related, but it's been fun. And I've been playing a little Star Ocean as well. The second story R, a remake. And then a little while ago, a couple weeks ago, there was the new updates from Pokemon Day, and so we learned about the new Pokemon Pocket, which seems kind of interesting to me, involving Pokemon card trading on an app. So it's not quite the same thing as Pokemon TCG Live like we play, and it looks like it'll still have a game component where you can play against people, maybe, or maybe just the computer, I don't know. But then you can trade cards with people, and you can even, there's at least some of the cards you can like dive into to explore or something like that, just to get like, so just like a living artwork kind of thing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it seems really interesting. I don't know. I don't know all the details, but that's supposed to be coming out. And
I
then
that
yeah, that would be cool. But the big news was that they are coming out with a new Pokemon Legends game. So we have Arceus, but now we're going to have Pokemon Legends Z through A, I think it's called. And it's supposed to take place in there's a big city in the sixth gen of Pokemon called Kalos, I think. Or that's the region. Kalos is the region. Lumineer City? Lumia? So I don't know. There's a city in Generation 6. And it sounds like the whole game will take place in that city. So that'll be interesting. We don't really know much about it. They didn't even give any gameplay footage or anything. They just had some fun little lines and artwork and whatnot. So that's something to look forward to, but it comes out next year. But then, on top of all that, we also had a Pokemon Go event at the beginning of the month in connection with the release of Pokemon Horizons on Netflix here in the States. And so we've been able to start watching that. And with the Pokemon Go event, you could hatch Char Cadets out of eggs which is from like Scarlet and Violet or whatever. But that's because Cerulege plays a kind of important part in the series, it looks like. And so I made sure to keep getting eggs from Pokestops. Tons of them. Hatched them like crazy. I could see his little silhouette, too. I've hatched over 18 eggs. Probably at least 5-10K eggs, which are the most likely to get Char Cadet. I still do not have a Char Cadet. And I'm so annoyed.
I'm not even trying that hard to get one, but it'd be so funny if I just randomly hatched one. I don't think I'd tell
you. I think that might drive me to murder. No, I'm just kidding.
See? The reason I don't tell you.
So I still have like one or two 10K eggs that are from the event, so he's more likely. And then I have some 10K eggs because after the event you can still get Char Cadet only out of 10K eggs now, but it's at a higher tier, so less likely. But I have them in incubators, hoping. And then yeah, you could, when you took pictures, like Liko and Roy and Freed and a combination of Liko and Roy with their Pokemon could pop up, and then a Pokemon would show up for you to catch.
Not
which
always.
Fun.
They just tricked.
So that was fun. But yeah, then we watched the, we're trying to watch them slowly. So we watched the two-episode premiere, basically, because I think that's how it was released in Japan as well. So part one and part two of the pendant episode. And I gotta say, we're kind of hooked, and it was actually really hard to turn it off and not keep watching.
It's really cool.
Yeah, you. What about you, Rosa? You like the show?
Yes.
Why are you scowling?
Because you shut it off.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, we're all really into it. It's just really cool having, like, the kind of a group of, like, a team or whatever on a ship and stuff. I always like those kinds of stories.
Don't spoil things. Maybe other people haven't seen it yet.
Most people seem to know even more than I do because they already watched through it because it was released in English in other countries already before this. And some people watch the Japanese versions, which are all the way up to, like, episode 40-something, I think.
People don't spoil it for us.
So... anyway, and what I'm explaining really doesn't spoil anything. It's in the trailers and stuff. There's a team of people on an airship.
Some people don't watch trailers.
And we just like those kind of stories, like with Firefly and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy is so cool.
Yes.
And Firefly in this show is too.
So, yeah. So we're a big fan. I'm going to keep watching that for sure. Oh, and then there was a lot of Captain Pikachus, and I like Cap in the show, too. He's pretty fun. But yeah, there was a lot of Captain Pikachus to catch out in the wild, too, and I ended up with, like, 20 of them.
I ended up with one or two.
Well, I had to catch extra in case you guys didn't get any, so I could give them to you.
Did you get any shinies?
No. I don't even know if they could be. I don't have no idea, but I did not get a shiny.
I have zero.
Well, I have one for you.
You were not there at all during it.
Ooh, speaking of, there's a new event coming out that... involves being able to get a hold of Zarude.
Is Zarude the evolved form of Zarude?
It's the jungle Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, Papa.
Which Rosella, I thought, was a huge fan of, but then when I mentioned it, she couldn't think of it, so.
I call it Papa.
So, that'll be exciting for, well, if Rosella wants to get involved in that. So that's where we're at with all of those things. Oh, and we will have an update on our Pokedex this episode for Red and Blue. Been cracking away and getting all the Pokemon there. And we'll have to update on the yellow stuff too, because I thought Red, Blue, and Yellow all had the same Pokedex entries, but I did a little more research and realized that I was wrong. And so Red and Blue have the same entries, but Yellow does not. So we will have to go through Yellows as well, the ones we haven't already. But yes, I have finished my Pokedex in Red. So we will be able to finally go through the rest of them. All right. With that all out of the way, we can jump into our episode. So we start with Pokemon Adventures Chapter 53, which is in Volume 5. Can't Catch Caterpie. So Yellow followed Blue to get some training on how to be a trainer. And this is all after the whole ghost incident with the super nerd pretending to be Red and all that stuff. Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super Nerd got possessed by Agatha's ghost thing. And Okay. And then Blue showed up and kind of got after Yellow for trying to save a Caterpie while also dealing with Ghastly and all that stuff. All right. So Yellow decides to follow Blue to get that training. And Blue does a cool number on a boulder with his Scyther. Like where he like has the Scyther chop up the boulder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was nifty. Then it turns out that the Caterpie that Yellow rescued also came along having taken a liking to Yellow. So, like, Yellow didn't capture Caterpie, but Caterpie followed after Yellow rescued. Blue wants Yellow to capture Caterpie first, and then he will be willing to train Yellow. So Blue leaves for a day and thinks that there's a good chance Yellow has a Metapod already due to how quickly Caterpie can evolve, which we all learned, remember?
Yeah.
But when Blue gets back, Caterpie still hasn't even been captured, let alone evolved into a Metapod. Yellow can't seem to hurt the Caterpie. Blue has to give specific instructions to Yellow to give to Rattata to battle Caterpie and finally catch the bug. So, like, Yellow has to battle Caterpie with Rattata, but Blue has to tell Yellow what to tell Rattata. So it's almost like Yellow's a Pokemon.
But when Yellow can't hurt Caterpie, it's just because, like, he can't bring himself to do it, right?
Right. It's not that Yellow's incapable of causing physical damage, like, because he's too weak or something. It's just that he cares too much about the Pokemon. Blue can't believe Yellow even has Rattata and Doduo at this point. Like, how could Yellow even get these if Yellow can't even manage to battle a Caterpie to capture it, right?
Yeah.
Then, due to the battle and having been involved in some other battles, Rattata evolves, which is shown on the Pokedex. This devastates Yellow, and Blue is incredulous over it. Like, just totally flabbergasted that Yellow is upset over the evolution and how, like seriously? Then Blue explains that evolutions can be stopped using the Pokedex if really desired. Which is kind of cool, that they allow that to be a thing in the manga just like it is in the game, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Agatha is looking over the badge amplifier she pulled from the rubble and talks about the 7 slots and how no one seemed to realize there was a hidden 8th slot in the center for the Earth badge. Finally, the 8th badge thing is coming up.
It's always just 7 badges, 7 badges, or in the manga. Not the manga. Or in the show. 18 badges.
Yeah, a lot of badges. Lance shows up and asks how things are going on getting the final badge. Agatha wonders how things are going with Lance's plans, where he says he is going to Vermilion City. Agatha assures she is getting close to the final badge. Their conversation seems to take place on an island called Cerise Island.
Is that supposed to be based off Cerulius? Wait, that's not even a word, is it?
Nope. No, I don't know. So Cerise Island is another. So just like with the Orange Islands, we got another location that isn't in the game, as far as I know. So then we move on to chapter 54, Pidgeotto Pick-Me-Up. Caterpie gets the name Kitty. This whole chapter is just kind of a really silly story where Yellow leaves to run an errand and leaves Pikachu in charge of Kitty, who isn't used to all of this, and so Yellow doesn't want the Caterpie cooped up in a Pokeball, because it's not used to having a trainer and, like, living as a trained Pokemon. And I just thought it was funny, because now, once again, just like in the anime, Pikachu is in charge, like, whether officially or unofficially, in charge of taking care of another Pokemon. Since he's always taking care of Togepi all the time. Caterpie chases after a leaf, and Pikachu goes to keep Kitty safe when a Pidgeotto swoops down and takes Kitty! Pikachu works hard to get Kitty back and defeats the Pidgeotto. They find a tree with a special flower on it that Kitty eats. When Yellow returns, Kitty and Pika are sleeping. Yellow had spent all day looking for the Vermilion flower, which is what Caterpie likes to eat, and it looks like Kitty and Pika had found it on their own. Which was what the plant was that they were.
Nice.
So, just a funny little story.
I was really confused at first when I read this story, but then I was like, oh, that's kind of funny and cool.
And then we have chapter 55, The Primeape Directive. It's been a week, and Blue is still training Yellow how to battle with Pokemon. Yellow often forgets to shout out commands and is struggling quite a bit. Meanwhile, at the Cinnabar Island Gym, Blaine is studying the bodysuit the Super Nerd was wearing. Super Nerd is encased in a glass coffin, kind of like Snow White. Blaine figures that Super Nerd found a piece of Red's clothing, which was a piece of the insulated gloves Red wore and had stolen from Team Rocket's Surge. Blaine remembers that they had been working on such a material, so because Blaine used to work for Team Rocket, so he knew about them.
Yeah.
He wonders if they'll find any more clues beyond the clothing to what happened to Red. And that's why Brock is climbing Mount Moon for the clues and stuff. Back to the training area, Blue realizes that there used to be a lot more life in the arid place they are training, and wonders if damage the power plant and stuff had caused had spread so far. Yellow is studying all the Pokedex information Red had, and is also drawing and writing down info. Then, suddenly, they are surrounded by a bunch of Mankey. They take out the leader, and the rest of the Mankey scatter. Blue sees a lot more potential in Yellow. After that battle, then Yellow touches and heals the lead Mankey and learns they were just searching for food. Blue realizes the damage mankind has caused. Yellow thanks Blue for all the teaching and wants to learn more, but worries about becoming too dependent on Blue. So they go their separate ways. Blue surfs off on his Golduck while Yellow boards the SS Anne. Blue sends a rolled-up note back to his grandfather, Professor Oak, using Pidgeot. Meanwhile, Lorelei watches Bruno utilize the special elastic abilities of his Hitmonlee. And then we're on chapter 56, The Coming of Slowpoke. Eventually. It's a funny title. We learn that the gym leaders of Justice had rescued the SSN, the gym leaders of Justice being the good gym leaders.
Yeah, so that's Brock, Misty, and the Leaf.
Erica,
right?
Yeah. You should remember her. She likes Bellsprout.
So, I thought you said they were the good ones, right?
Yeah. But which means Bellsprout's a good guy!
No! No, 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 no. He is not a good guy. Everyone should know this.
Anyway, the gym leaders of Justice had rescued the SSN from being a Pokemon smuggling vessel for Team Rocket, because remember when Red fought Lieutenant Surge on there, they had been stealing Pokemon, and then we learned from Giovanni later that the boat had been used to smuggle Pokemon that they were experimenting on to get to Viridian Forest and stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Pokemon Club person has been infatuated with battles ever since watching the Pokemon League Finals, and trained his Rapidash and Fearow to learn the Meowth move, Payday. And with that ability, he finally has enough money to ride on the SS Anne. Then something happens, and the SS Anne starts to sink. Yellow goes to investigate, and so does the Pokemon Club guy. He sees Yellow in the smoldering engine room and is sure Yellow is the culprit. Once Pika bites the Pokemon Club dude, Yellow takes out Omni, the Omanyte that he got lent to him.
Oh, yeah, I was like, wait, who's Omni?
Yeah, remember he got a Geodude and Omni and...
Yeah.
Something else, I thought. I don't know, he got a few Pokemon from the others to help him out. And has it use Ice Beam on a hole in the ship. So Omni uses Ice Beam on a hole in the ship. At the mention of Pika's name and seeing Yellow help, Pokemon Club guy isn't trying to attack anymore. We find out Team Rocket is behind the incident, and that many of its members have been lurking, waiting for the chance to rise up again after the defeat of their leaders 2 years ago. There were apparently three squadrons under the three leaders, Lieutenant Surge, Koga, and Sabrina. And the Team Rocket members here and now are Team Rocket Elite, as they have taken up leadership of those three squadrons. Retaking the SSN will be a signal that Team Rocket is back! Yellow unleashes all six Pokemon, and the Elite Team Rocket release two apiece for six Pokemon as well, which are Weezing and Ekans, Slowpoke and Hypno, and Voltorb and Electrode. Who are Yellow's Pokemon now? So we have Caterpie, Doduo, Raddy, Pika, Omni...
And Graveler.
Oh, it's Graveler. It wasn't a Geodude. It was Graveler. Gotcha. Okay. I couldn't remember what all six Pokemon were for Yellow. All right.
It's funny. The Coming of Slowpoke is the title, but Slowpoke doesn't even come until the end.
That's why it says eventually. Chapter 57, Ekans the Ecstasy. Yellow's Pokemon try to scatter. Team Rocket Pokemon block paths, but then, with some whirlwind action, many of the Pokemon get away. The boat is sinking, worse, and many of the passengers are overboard. Team Rocket uses Hypno to levitate out of the ship, and then find that all the passengers have silk rings as lifesavers around them, thanks to Kitty, the Caterpie.
That's funny.
Then Omni freezes Team Rocket's legs with Ice Beam. They send Hypno to attack, which means Hypno isn't levitating them anymore, and they all fall. The passengers make it safely to the docks, and Yellow is all that's left. Team Rocket doesn't want to give up, and sends Weezing and Ekans to attack. Pika electrifies them, and then there is a loud sound that reveals Raticate chewing the boat in half, so the part sticking up starts looming over the trio of Team Rocket in the water. This finally causes them to give up. Then Yellow and them are back on the docks at Vermilion City, and after Pokemon Club Guy deals the finishing blow with Payday, he asks about Red and learns that Red is missing. Then, before getting into too much detail about what he knows about Red, he announces that he should speak about a legend that surrounds Vermilion Harbor.
Ooh, who is it?
It's not a person, it's a legend of something that's there.
I wonder if it's one of the legendary birds.
It's not. As we will learn in Chapter 58, The Kindest Tentacruel.
I wonder if it's a tentacruel.
It's not. Pokemon Club Guy talks about the Moonstone and then mentions there are four other evolutionary stones: Leaf, Fire, Water, Thunder. He mentions how they usually vanish after one use, but there is a legend that there are four hidden ones that don't vanish after using. Yellow wants to know what this has to do with Red. So Pokemon Club Guy starts to explain that when Red was in Vermilion and battled on the SSN, he had fallen into the water and was rescued by his Poliwhirl, who had suddenly become Poliwrath. Well, it's possible he had made contact with the secret stones, which I really like. It's a nice way to explain how Poliwhirl evolved into Poliwrath, since in the game it can only evolve with a water stone.
It's much better than going to the Leaf Forest with a bunch of, whatever they're called.
Executes?
Executes. And then they evolve into Executor with no stone.
So, we had Poliwhirl evolve into Poliwrath in the Red stories, and it never got explained. It just was assumed he evolved because of the battle. And now we have an explanation that maybe he just happened to brush up against one single hidden stone while in the water to evolve. And you think that is easier to believe than a leaf forest having leaf stones possibly littering the ground?
Yes.
Evolving Executor.
They usually explain how they evolve.
They didn't with Red. This is coming later. They retconned it.
At least they explained it.
Well, maybe we just haven't got to an episode where they explain the leaves and leaf forest. Or
yeah, I'm pretty sure they're done with that.
But I think it's still a valid argument if they're willing to do that in the manga.
Manga makes sense if they're going to tell us how it works.
So, what if I had just suggested, well, maybe there was a water stone down there?
Well, because he went into the water before to get one of the stones, it might make sense.
He didn't. We never saw him get a stone in there.
Yeah, because the Dragonite saw. Or was that like a TM or HM?
Oh, yeah, you're talking about a TM, and it's a different water area. Oh. Or HM. Yeah, HM.
Well, I might have believed you.
No, you wouldn't have, because you don't believe me about the leaf stones. So you'd be like, oh yeah, there was just a random water stone floating around in the ocean. Why don't all the water Pokemon then start evolving?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would've.
No, I wouldn't.
See? So, poo on you.
Poo on you!
This legitimizes my theory on the leaf forest. So, Yellow goes to investigate despite being warned that it is said to be located in a guarded sanctuary. Yellow has Omni and a Pokeball on a fishing rod to lower the Pokemon into the water and scope out the place. But Yellow is surrounded by Tentacool while doing this and wonders if it is meant as a warning. Caterpie is the one creating the line, the fishing line, and therefore can extend it. The Tentacruel shows up and sends Yellow into the depths. Tentacruel drags Yellow down, and then it is discovered that there is a Tentacool trapped under a boulder. They wanted help. Yellow sends out Graveler, despite it being dangerous for a rock Pokemon to be in water, and Yellow is almost out of breath. While trying to put Graveler back in a Pokeball, now that Tentacool is free, something sucks Yellow into a crack underwater. Yellow is rescued by the Tentacool and is in the dome with the Evolutionary Stones.
See? The Evolutionary Stones are underwater. So that's where the Leaf Stone is, not in some leaf forest.
All right. Listen. Did you just notice how difficult it was to get to these special stones?
Yes.
And they're a single type of stone. Like, there's only one because it's reusable. Meanwhile, the other evolutionary stones, there are plenty of them out there in the world, which are very likely, if leaf stones exist, could be in a place called the Leaf Forest. Much more likely that somebody accidentally brushed against a random leaf stone in a leaf forest than somehow getting sucked into, like, it's getting led to a special secret cove guarded by Tentacool and Tentacruel to touch a special secret one-of-a-kind stone to evolve and then come out and rescue his buddy.
The Tentacool could have been taking the stone for a walk and then...
He'd probably use one of its little tentacles as a leash. A walk? They're in the water, they don't walk!
Maybe going out for a swim.
Okay.
Oh, no, we're not done yet.
Okay. I will consider that there are leaf stones that, like, originate in the leaf forest, and that that's possibly how a lot of execute evolved into Executor, that there's just so many that they all evolved.
There was already a bunch of Executor there. We only saw the one evolve.
Wait, only one evolve?
Yep. The of the weird hypnotist guy, magician guy.
Oh, well, that makes a lot more sense. I thought it was a whole crew that all accidentally brushed up against some stones.
No, there were a bunch of Executor that apparently live out there, so who knows when they evolved, but probably because there's leaf stones there.
Alright.
Alright. But only one of the special stones is left, and it's the leaf stone. The other three are gone. Yellow wonders why, and then realizes that there is a single Pokemon that can be affected by those three stones. Eevee.
Hey boy.
Okay, so the water one's not even there, so it's more likely that was just floating around in the water.
The water one's not there now. This is 2 years later.
Yeah. So it was floating around. The tentacle found it. Then they kept it for 1 year. Then it was stolen.
And so Yellow wonders if Red took them, since Red has an Eevee. Then Pokemon Glub... I keep calling him Glub. Then Pokemon Club guy tries to go for a swim to the stones himself, but gets kicked out by the Tentacruel.
He's not kind and caring like the Yellow.
All right, and one more chapter for the day, and this title's funny in relation to a new movie that came out and a new song, or a new version of a song I've been listening to. And this chapter is called Hitmonlee, Baby, One More Time. Just like the Britney Spears song, Hit Me Baby One More Time, or the new Jack Black version, or sorry, Tenacious D version. So Green uses Jigglypuff to float by Vermilion, and notes that Yellow has matured since the encounter with Lorelei. Green suspects to show up and make an appearance soon, but for now, Green is visiting the sea cottage of Bill's. She uses Ditto to become a key and unlock the front door and sneak in. She's really good with that Ditto. Bill is snoozing away, and she apologizes to Professor Oak in her mind for breaking and entering once again. This time, she claims, it is for a good cause. Bill wakes up and sends Vulpix to go deal with the intruder, but Green is already thinking she might just need to wake Bill up to get the info she needs from the Pokemon transfer system. When Vulpix approaches, Green releases Blastoise. Once Vulpix and Bill are tied up, Green explains that she sent Yellow on the quest and that Yellow's hat is bugged, so Green can keep tabs. She knows Bill was there with Lorelei, and so she thinks the Elite Four will come after Bill since they don't like to leave loose ends. She wants to look at the transfer records. Green reveals the Elite Four are her enemies too, and that she believes they were the ones to use a bird to steal her away from her real home when she was a young child. Green explains that if Red is still alive, then he would likely need to replace Pika at least, and so the withdrawal info could help them out. Bill is reluctant, as that is private info that he could get kicked out of the Pokemon Council for showing, since it would be breaking the law. But Green convinces him, and Green has a thought that there is more to her wanting Red found than simply peace in the region. So Green convinces Bill, and then Green is also thinking about how there's actually more reasons for her wanting Red found than simply bringing peace to the region.
Like love.
I don't think that's it. I think she's that's not her personality. When they look it up, they find that Red's Eevee was withdrawn, but before they can get a location, a part of the building explodes as Hitmonlee's stretchy leg comes crashing through. They are being attacked and escape using Blastoise. Once again, Green using the Blastoise's water jets to fly through the air. Bill asks where Yellow is, and Green looks at a screen and sees Yellow hasn't left Vermilion in a while. Then we cut to Yellow staring out over the waters of Vermilion City. All of Yellow's Pokemon are there and watching as well. To be continued. Alright, so that's where we're at in Yellow's journey. Seems all cool and mysterious and interesting. Definitely a departure from the normal pathway of Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow, but just a lot of cool character developments and interesting connections and stuff going on. I'm really enjoying Yellow's story for sure.
Yeah, his story was really cool.
And now, let us finish off our Pokedex entries for Red and Blue.
Who's that Pokemon?
First up, we have number 49, Venomath. Venomath? What? Venomoth, poison moth Pokemon. The dust-like scales covering its wings are color-coded to indicate the kinds of poison it has.
Number 55, Golduck, duck Pokemon. Often seen swimming elegantly by lake shores, it is often mistaken for the Japanese monster Kappa.
Number 59, Arcanine, legendary Pokemon. A Pokemon that has been admired since the past for its beauty. It runs agilely as if on wings.
It's Arcanine, not Arcanine.
I've heard it both ways.
Number 61, Poliwhirl, tadpole Pokemon. Capable of living in or out of water, when out of water, it sweats to keep its body slimy.
Number 67, Machoke, superpower Pokemon. Its muscular body is so powerful, it must wear a power save belt to be able to regulate its motions.
Number 78, Rapidash, fire horse Pokemon. Very competitive, this Pokemon will chase anything that moves fast in the hopes of racing it.
Number 85, Dodrio, Triple Bird Pokemon. Triple Bird Pokemon. Uses its three brains to execute complex plans. While two heads sleep, one head stays awake.
Number 86, Seal, Sea Lion Pokemon. The protruding horn on its head is very hard. It is used for bashing through thick ice.
Number 89, Muck, Sludge Pokemon. Thickly covered with a filthy, vile sludge, it is so toxic, even its footprints contain poison.
Its footprints?
Mm-hmm.
What footprints? I don't care. Muck is my favorite.
Muck is your favorite. He's very affectionate in the cartoon.
Well, yeah, I really like him because of that, but there's also the other reason.
Oh, the Bellsprout.
Number 90, Shellder. Bivalve Pokemon. Its hard shell repels any kind of attack. It is vulnerable only when its shell is open.
I don't know. That was proved false with Cloyster, at least.
Yeah.
The evolved form.
Well, it just kept going, so it cracked the shell.
Cookie, cookie, cookie.
Cookie.
Number 91, Cloyster, bivalve Pokemon. When attacked, it launches its horns in quick volleys. Its innards have never been seen.
Innards? Well, my innards have never been seen. Number 101, Electrode, ball Pokemon. It stores electric energy under very high pressure. It often explodes with little or no provocation.
Number 105, Marowak, Bone Keeper Pokemon. The bone it holds is its key weapon. It throws the bone skillfully like a boomerang to KO targets.
Number 108, Lickitung, Licking Pokemon. Its tongue can be extended like a Charmeleon's. It leaves a tingling sensation when it licks enemies.
Number 112, Rhydon, Drill Pokemon. Protected by an armor-like hide, it is capable of living in molten lava of 3,600 degrees.
Number 113, Chansey, Egg Pokemon. A rare and elusive Pokemon that is said to bring happiness to those who manage to get it.
Number 114, Tangela, Vine Pokemon. The whole body is swathed with wide vines that are similar to seaweed. Its vines shake as it walks.
Number 124, Jinx, Human-Shaped Pokemon. It seductively wiggles its hips as it walks. It can cause people to dance in unison with it.
Number 127, Pinsir, Stag Beetle. If it fails to crush the victim in its pincers, it will swing it around and toss it hard.
Number 134, Vaporeon, Bubble Jet Pokemon. Lives close to water. Its long tail is rigid with a fin, which is often mistaken for a mermaid's.
Number 139, Amistar, Spiral. A prehistoric Pokemon that died out when its heavy shell made it impossible to catch prey.
Number 141, Kabutops, Shellfish Pokemon. Its sleek shape is perfect for swimming. It slashes at prey with its claws and drains the body fluids.
Number 149, Dragonite, Dragon. An extremely rarely seen marine Pokemon. Its intelligence is said to match that of humans. And for our final entry, this one we technically did not get in our games, because it is impossible for us to do so without exposing a glitch, without taking advantage of a glitch, or going back in time to when there was events for us to get it. But we have Mew.
Pokemon 151. Mew. New species Pokemon. So rare that it is still said to be a mirage by many experts. Only a few people have seen it worldwide.
And that is our Red and Blue Pokedex completed. In the coming episodes, we will start doing little segments where we go through chunks of the Pokedex from Yellow, and we'll scatter those around throughout the rest of our Orange Island episodes as we lead up to Johto. All right, now we are on the anime. And our first episode is another episode that got taken out of circulation because it has a jinx in it. It seems like all the jinx episodes were jinxed. This one is called Stage Fight. So, first thing to notice is we do not start with the gang on a Lapras out in the middle of the water, which they all had been for a while. Instead, they're in a town and end up on a big riverboat, showboat thing floating there. It's a theater. There we find a talking Hitmonchan on stage talking to a Clefable, and we see a talking... Oh, wait. There we find a talking Hitmonchan and talking Clefable and a talking Machoke all on stage performing a play.
And there's more talking Pokemon, but they're not...
Well, these are the ones that show up right now. The Hitmonchan and Machoke box it out, because it's some boxing story, kind of like Rocky or something, and the Machoke loses. Abra also is talking and does the countdown as the ring ref. The gang is watching, and then Togepi slips away from Misty, who manages to go backstage. So once again, Misty can't find her Pokemon and loses it, and asks everybody where it went, and expects them to have seen where it went.
And it was in her lap.
Yep.
And it just hops down and walks away, and she doesn't know.
Pikachu was the first one to notice, too.
Probably. Because Pikachu's a superstar. The gang chases Togepi down. There they find that there are actors behind a window that do the talking for the Pokemon, who simply just move their mouths. So we don't actually have a bunch of talking Pokemon. A girl gets after them for being loud backstage, and when she sees Ash and his Pikachu, I got the impression she was mad at first, but then she just seems sad, and thinks it must be nice to be so close to his Pokemon. Turns out, she has a Raichu, who doesn't want to go on stage, and she stays away when he starts electrifying. Raichu is sad, and the girl keeps her distance. The boat offers the gang a ride, since they're going to the next port anyway. Ash wants to pay them back, and so Ash is supposed to give the girl advice to get along with her Raichu. Meanwhile, Team Rocket floats after the showboat in their Magikarp, and they want to steal the performing Pokemon. James and Meowth want to open a Team Rocket dinner theater, but Jesse plans to give these special Pokemon to the boss. Ash spouts all kinds of advice, which impresses Tracy, but Misty explains that he's just repeating what Brock has told him. But Raichu still sparks at the girl when she tries to perform with it. Then Ash stupidly puts his hand on Raichu and gets electrified. The girl kind of gets after Raichu, which doesn't help their relationship. And then we learn that when her and Raichu first met, she was super excited and they went to hug, but then he started sparking and she got terrified and chucked him across the boat into some crates and stuff. And it hurt him. And so, yeah. And so Raichu knows that she's scared of him and it makes him sad, and they just haven't been able to reconcile, and and that's why she made a comment about being so close to his Pokemon with Ash and Pikachu.
Yeah.
So Team Rocket and their Magikarp sub thing, they launch some torpedoes or whatever at the boat, and it hits the boat, causing like a big ruckus, and Raichu goes flying across, and so the girl rushes in and catches him, getting hurt herself, which is how Ash got Pikachu to like him, you know?
Yeah.
Is putting himself in danger, so this is helpful. And she tries to tell Raichu that she isn't afraid anymore, and Raichu starts to settle, because he was starting to electrify again. Then Team Rocket themselves pop out and show up in their fun pirate costumes and say their motto. They threaten to blow up the showboat unless the gang and the performers do what they're told. And, of course, Ash wants to fight, but the performers are like, no, this is our livelihood. Don't let them destroy our boat.
Yeah.
So they all get tied up, and Team Rocket goes to steal the talking Pokemon. But Team Rocket didn't really think this through. Hitmonchan punches James, and the actors, who were tied up together, snuck over while they were still tied up.
Because they work together, yep.
And they start talking for the Pokemon.
Well, they look at the Pokemon, and it's just like, read each other's minds or something. It's like, let's do this.
Yeah, they gave some head nods and signals or whatever. Yep. And so, yeah, they have the Pokemon basically talk and threaten. And Meowth is all surprised that there's more talking Pokemon. Well, they're all surprised. They're like, I thought Meowth was the only talking Pokemon. And so, yeah, with the talking, the Pokemon all get ready for a big fight. And so James sends out Victory Bell and gets eaten. Jesse, strangely, uses Weezing, which isn't her Pokemon. That confused me. And smoke screens everyone, which has them all gagging and coughing. The girl rushes in and hugs Raichu and has to explain she isn't scared again to calm him down again. So it was weird that she had to do it twice. But now they all seem good. And we also learn that Raichu gets to perform with the girl giving it a voice now. Because they're in good, you know.
Yeah.
And then Team Rocket, who was defeated during the big old battle, decide to get up and try to fight again. Because they hadn't blasted off yet.
Yeah.
So then Pikachu shocks the wet Team Rocket. Because they got soaked somehow. I forget how.
I don't know.
And Raichu gives them a mega punch and sends them blasting off again. But wait, there's still a problem. One of the performers can't go on because of the smokescreen. Ruined his voice. But then Raichu offers to help and the girl fills in for the actor. Then Ash and the gang offer to help with their Pokemon as well. So Pikachu talks in Ash's voice. And then we have the new theme song that we've been enjoying. For the Orange Islands.
I like the old one better.
Yeah. But this one's really growing on me. I really like it.
I guess.
We all live in a Pokemon world. Pokemon. Wanna be greatest master of them
the
all.
The other one is still better.
I agree. Well, speaking of theme songs, I'm really digging that theme song for the new show, too. Kind of.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not my favorite one still, but I really enjoy it.
The first song is probably always good.
Yeah.
They did a good job.
But yeah, we have that new theme song playing with all the Pokemon singing it, which is interesting. But they cut out weird chunks of the song, too. So it was a little weird, but whatever. And then that's that episode. All right, and then we move on to the next one, which is called Bye Bye Psyduck.
So sad.
Let's all have a moment of silence as one of our favorite Pokemon might be leaving the show. I said silence! Alright. Well, screw that. Alright. Psyduck is sleeping on Lapras and slides off and ends up sleeping on top of the water while they are all resting and relaxing for a bit. And he drifts off. And that's how we lose Psyduck. He went bye-bye. Pikachu raises the alarm and Togepi just seems to be making noise and happy because Pikachu is making noise. Then we see a girl fishing alongside her Tentacruel and she sees the Psyduck show up. Then we go back to the gang, who have all had their water Pokemon looking for Psyduck to no avail. Misty is desperate to find her Psyduck, and Ash mentions that seems odd.
Yeah.
Tracy suggests it is love, and that Psyduck is Misty's favorite. And then the fishing girl shows up with Psyduck. The gals, so then she and Misty meet, and I think her name is Marina, and she mentions that Psyduck's glowing tail probably means it is getting ready to evolve into Golduck. Huh! So we're saying bye-bye to Psyduck because he's just going to evolve into Golduck.
Yeah, still, though. It's Psyduck. He's a classic.
So this excites Marina and Misty both as they declare that Golduck is one of their most favorite Pokemon. Then Marina mentions she's a water Pokemon trainer, and that sets off both girls gushing over water Pokemon for a long while and talking about how they make their own lures and all kinds of stuff. Marina thinks it is weird that Misty's Psyduck doesn't know how to swim, so Misty quickly tries to trade her special one-of-a-kind Pokemon for one of Marina's Pokemon. Marina declines, and so then the two decide to have a Pokemon battle, and not because of any offense from the decline. They just are like, let's have a battle because we're water trainers and see who's the better water trainer. So then we have Team Rocket seeing them from a distance with their little, you know, scope from their Magikarp sub. And starts plotting for an attack. Then the girls decide on a 3-versus-3 match, and Ash asks Misty if she remembers how to battle since it has been so long. Tentacruel versus Goldeen is how the battle starts, and Misty is quite confident. Then Tentacruel poison stings Goldeen and defeats the fishy Pokemon.
That seems a bit fishy.
Nah. Then Marina says that her real specialty in Pokemon is not water Pokemon, but water Pokemon that also have abilities of other types of Pokemon.
I think that's kind of cool. I like it when you bring something out and you're like, and everyone's like, oh, it's water, you're going to be able to defeat that with so-and-so, and then you're like, haha.
Yeah, that's kind of why I really like the idea of the Terra types in Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, those are really cool.
Because then you totally shift what your type is in the middle of battle. The only issue I have with Scarlet and Violet's Terra types is I think the whole crystalline thing is cool and that they can change their type, but I really hate that they grow a thing on top of their head. Like, these symbols on top of their head just are ridiculous. They're not cool to me at all.
That's funny.
I would have really rather they just become crystalline of a color, or like have some aspects in their crystalline form that show what kind of type they are, instead of just a symbol on top of their head.
If it wasn't as big and it was almost like a tiny crown,
maybe. That would work.
Yeah.
But they probably wanted to make it super obvious.
Yeah.
So then Misty brings in Staryu. Marina thinks it is cute, and they gush about Staryu for a while.
Oh, because it looks really nice, because... And the Misty's like, yeah, I just polished it. I want it to look the best.
Right. And then Staryu defeats Tentacruel, and so Marina brings out her Psyduck. And this one actually looks intense. Like, it has the narrow eyes and, like a more, like, combative feel to it. Like, this Psyduck looks like he's kind of tough. Mm-hmm. Instead of the big, round, blank eyes of Misty's Psyduck.
Which are the...
Yes. And Marina brags about hers being trained the right way.
No.
Okay. Staryu is defeated by the more intense Psyduck, and so then Marina suggests that both Psyduck battle, and Misty thinks that will get her Psyduck to evolve. So she calls out Psyduck and throws a Pokeball, which ends up being empty. So then she wants her backpack and demands Ash throws it to her, so he does, and it lands in the water, and she fishes for it, and... What?
Because they're both standing on rocks and, like, right, cool water in between.
Yeah, the two water trainers or whatever.
Yeah, they're standing on the beach.
Yeah. Actually, are they on the beach? I think they might have actually been on some rocks, too, just more
closer to the beach.
Yeah. I could be wrong, though. You might be right.
That totally could be.
But anyway, she has to fish in the water for a backpack, but instead of pulling out a backpack, she pulls out a Golduck. And as soon as the Golduck shows up, the girls are in love with it. Then they battle, and Misty is happy to find Golduck listening to her. But unfortunately, the battle doesn't get to finish. Team Rocket shows up, and Pikachu tries to shock the sub, but it doesn't work because they made it shockproof, like they like to do on occasion. Then Team Rocket realizes that maybe it is easier to catch Pokemon, because they're doing well right now, if they don't recite the motto first, which they haven't done yet. And Meowth is suggesting. Team Rocket has stolen Marina's Psyduck and Tentacruel, so she sends out her Starmie. Misty sends out Golduck. Team Rocket argues about what they caught, because they wanted to get the Golduck. And Golduck and Starmie disappeared somehow. Like, they went to go rescue him, but they get defeated or knocked out or knocked away or something.
I just know they all end up on the beach.
But yeah, so when they go and rush in to rescue him, they get, like, knocked off out into the water or something like that. So then Marina asks who they are, and Team Rocket motto time! And then there are a standoff, and Marina goes to rescue her Pokemon herself. So Jesse sends Arbok at Marina, and he goes to attack, but then is blasted by water. It's Golduck, marching up the beach like a superhero, because he got launched out into the water or something. He creates a psychic shield thing to defend himself against Poison Sting from Arbok, then uses a Hyper Beam attack against Team Rocket and their sub, causing it to explode, and sends Team Rocket blasting off again. But remember, Marina's Pokemon were caught in a net on the sub. Like, hanging from the sub. Ooh. Marina fears for her Pokemon in the flaming wreckage, but then Golduck carries the net with them both inside, out of the fire, and returns them to Marina. Now Marina and Misty prepare to finish their Pokemon match. Golduck wins against Starmie. They congratulate one another and praise one another for their match. Then Misty pulls out the Pokeball to put Golduck away, and Psyduck comes out!
Yay!
Then the Golduck sees some other girls walking along the beach, and he rushes off to show off for them. Like, doing, like, flexes and showing off muscles and whatever.
Misty's like, it's just the Pokemon version of Brock.
Yes, she feels terrible. She's like, no, it's just a Pokemon version of Brock. Yeah, that was hilarious. And then we learn that Psyduck was just resting in his Pokeball this whole time. And Psyduck doesn't evolve, and his tail kind of stopped glowing. By the end, Misty and Marina decide to battle again in the future, maybe when she finally does have a Golduck. And Tracy, with Misty's reactions, starts to think maybe he was wrong about Misty loving Psyduck.
Because he implied it a few times over the episode.
Yeah. He was sure he was right for a while. Then we have... The Joy of Pokemon. The gang are sailing along on Lapras again, and then something shoots by them on the water. Tracy was sure it was someone paddling a boat, which seems impossible because of how fast it went. Like it was like something running on a motor or something. Turns out, it is a person, and it's just a buff and tanned Nurse Joy who travels to a bunch of smaller islands that don't have their own Poké Centers.
Because they're not really big enough to have that per thing.
Right. And she administers care to the Pokémon on these. One of these Pokémon is a giant Magikarp she met when she was just a little girl on a boat full of Nurse Joys. And seeing all those Nurse Joys and her being a little Nurse Joy, it got me thinking. So, because one of the first Nurse Joy that we met on the Orange Islands turned out to be not a blood relative, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Which was ridiculous. But I started to wonder if these, and maybe the Officer Jenny's then too, aren't normal people, and maybe they're clones.
Wait, what?
Like, maybe somebody's cloning something to create these Nurse Joys. So they're not necessarily individual, like, people, like normal people. They're just grown and stuff. Out of the same stuff, so that mean that they would still look the same then. Because they're clones.
I think they're normal, just people.
Nope, doesn't make any sense. I'm going with clones.
Doesn't make any sense. A bunch of
extra. Which would also mean why they're all related still, without even having to necessarily be normally related.
No. They're just weird.
So then the gang helps this Nurse Joy with her errands, and they have a tough time keeping up with her because she's so fast with her boat. And she has a Chansey with her, of course, too, just like Nurse Joys usually have.
And Chansey's also really good at paddling.
Yes. And there's one point where they actually have to go underwater and stuff to administer, like, they can go watch her help out a Pokemon down there. And I think Ash almost drowns or something.
Yeah. Because of a
Duke. Yeah. A playful Duke. And weirdly enough, the one who didn't go in the water to go see this was Misty. The water trainer. But then Joy has to go to an island of sick seal or dugong, do you remember?
I think it was seal.
Was it just seal? I couldn't remember for sure. Anyway. I mean, they're part of the same line.
Dugong the Revolution. Well, then I think it was baby seal. And so there were dugongs.
Oh, yeah. There was a
but
baby.
But she was going there because
because of the sick baby seals.
Okay. I don't know if the baby was sick, just it's a new baby, so she had to check.
There was something wrong with them that she had to go make sure. Because it was a kind of a, like, they need some help. Anyway, there's a storm coming. Still, she decides to go anyway. And the gang decide they can't let her be out there alone, which makes sense. You don't go sailing off into a storm by yourself, but she did have Chansey with her.
And it's still ridiculously stupid because then they're just going to make it harder for her because they can't keep up with her. They're going to get mulled over by the storm. Like, they should just stay.
Agreed. They do make it more difficult because they do get thrown into the water and she has to rescue them. And they all eventually end up on the island, but by that point, Team Rocket shows up in their Magikarp sub.
I kind of forgot about Team Rocket in this one.
Yeah, they trap the gang in a net that the gang can't get free of, and that includes Joy in them. So they're trapped on the beach in the net. But then, the giant Magikarp shows up and batters their sub around. It seems like it's no use, though, because it's a big metal sub and it's just a Magikarp. But then, Magikarp evolves into Gyarados! And sends Team Rocket blasting off again.
Ding. Ding. It's actually in the intro where, like, the Gyarados back, the magic level.
Like in the theme song when they show a bunch of clips?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you were trying to tell me that it was in the intro of this episode, and I'm like, what? They did this at the end of the episode. That wouldn't make any sense at the beginning.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
So then Nurse Joy gets to finish helping out the Pokemon on the little island, and then they find out that an island called Naval Island is nearby and has one of the Orange Island gyms. Which brings us to the next episode, Naval Maneuvers. And naval spelled as in the orange, not as in, like, the Navy, naval, water, ships, that kind of stuff.
It's kind of perfect for both, though.
Yep. And this is important because, so there's a... All these islands have been, like, named after oranges and stuff, right? Like Mandarin and things like that. And there's another podcast I've been listening to that goes over the episodes, like, 2-3 at a time. And it's a really funny episode. If you have not checked it out, listeners, you should. Yeah, it's called To Kill a Deli Bird. And it's very amusing. The title is based off of, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird book. And one of the host is much more familiar with Pokemon, while the other is just kind of a passing knowledge of it. And tries to bring a literary perspective to the themes of the episodes, and it's just ridiculous. They're very amusing. Totally check them out. But they also didn't recognize that the islands were named specifically for the fruit, and it was really funny, but they finally figured it out, which makes me happy. But yeah. And they're a little ahead of us. I think they're already on the Johto episodes and stuff, but I've not been listening ahead from where we're at, so I'm a bit behind on the show. Anyway, so now we have naval maneuvers. They arrive at the island, the naval island, and it seems abandoned. Then they meet Danny, who seems to always be prepared for things with his backpack. Like, he has all kinds of stuff there. He lays it on a bit thick on Misty, talking about how she's so beautiful and stuff, that it kind of creeped me out a little bit, because he seems older. Not like old man old, but just like an adult.
And not like the doctor old, necessarily.
Well, he seems like he could even be about the same age as the doctor that was super creepy. But like, yeah, it was really hard to know if he was just flirting with Misty or just like being super like nice. But it was a little weird.
We'll just pretend it was nice.
Because overall, he seems like a pretty nice guy, unlike creepy doctor asking everybody out. But in this situation, Misty is actually smitten with Danny, where she didn't necessarily like the creepy doctor. And she even talks about, because Danny suggests that there's something between her and Misty, or with her and Ash, which she's like, what? No! I would be interested in a little kid like him, which, I mean, she's probably around the same age as Ash, maybe a couple years older, but seriously. She's trying to sound much more mature, which then again adds to the suggestion that Danny's probably a little older. So then they get into an area where there's a cable car that goes up a mountain, but there's a sign there that says that challengers for the gym have to climb the mountain, not take the cable car, just their friends can or whatever, and they cannot use Pokemon to help them. So Tracy and Misty take the cable car, and Danny and Ash climb up the mountain. Oh, by this point, they figured Danny must be somebody there to challenge the gym as well. Mm-hmm. Ash almost falls during the climb and was about to use a Pokemon to help him, but Danny stops him just in time, reminding him that there's the rule about not getting help. Then we have Team Rocket show up and they snatch Pikachu, but Danny easily gets Pikachu back, and their motto is interrupted, which annoys them. And so Team Rocket tries again to get them, but are sent blasting off again. Then they land in some like icy cold area.
But Danny dealt with Team Rocket really fast, Nash.
Yeah, Danny kicked butt. So then at the top of the mountain, they discover that Danny is the actual gym leader, not somebody there to challenge the gym leader. And once again, the contests here are not battles, just like with the water gym. Oh, I guess. Yeah, she had water Pokemon stuff. But
it was all water challenges.
Yeah. Anyway, again, it's challenges, not actual battles. So the first contest is to see who can freeze hot water the fastest. And I forget which Pokemon Danny
Lapras.
Uses.
Oh, no. Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Lapras, and then Danny had something. I don't remember what, though.
I feel like I know, but I don't.
Ash loses, though. Danny's Pokemon does it faster. Is it like a Cloyster or something? I don't know. Anyway, then they have to make an ice sled out of the ice that they just formed with their Pokemon, and Ash decides, crazily, to use the help of Charizard, because it allowed, like, three Pokemon, I think?
Mm-hmm. Pikachu, Bulbasaur, and Charizard.
Is that what he uses?
I think so.
I know he brings out Charizard, I can tell you that much. Because I think Danny has, like, a Scyther to help slice it into shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
Which is cool. So he starts off doing nothing, the Charizard. Like, he's supposed to use his heat to help with, like, getting things in shape. But then, Charizard eventually blasts a ton of fire, and after all the trying to work on the shape, and suddenly the sled takes perfect shape. Doesn't make a ton of sense, but it worked.
Pikachu and Bulbasaur were trying really hard and making dents.
They must have, because they got it so that when he melted it, it just melted the right ice, so.
Mm-hmm. Did it do a lot. So it does make sense either way.
So that makes Ash win, because Charizard like sped up the process real quick there at the end. So they both have one win. So the final task is to race down the mountainous like ice hill or whatever on their new sleds.
I thought it was kind of fun that they used like all the challenges together or whatever, like
that they build on each other. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because they'd freeze the sleds and then make the sleds and then
Misses. Yep. So then...
They have three Pokemon that they take with them down the hill. And I know Ash uses Pikachu and Bulbasaur, but what other Pokemon does...
Was it three? I thought it was just two. Because that's all that fit in the set.
Yeah, maybe there's only room for three people, and that includes the person then. Okay. I honestly don't remember.
I know Danny uses Scyther.
There might have been, because Squirtle could have been one that, like, jetted him down. Squirtle was in the back spinning out water.
I think Squirtle wasn't in there, but he did nothing.
Squirtle tried to do something. I don't really remember, but I know that when they're sledding down... Team Rocket shows back up.
Yeah.
And attacks again. And they, like... I think they drop some bombs or something. They create holes, don't they?
They create...
Or do they have a pit in there somewhere?
Yeah, they created a pit.
That's so right. Pokemon... And then, so then Danny's like, where did this pit come from? And Ash is like, I know. And then Danny even mistakenly calls Team Rocket his friends a couple times. He's like, they're not friends.
He's got weird friends.
Maybe this is just how friends play.
But anyway, they deal with Team Rocket. And Team Rocket blasts off again.
Ding!
Yeah, and so then they have to finish the race.
And Ash
gets... And Danny looks like he's going to win, because Ash kind of, like, ends up off course or whatever.
And, like, these trees and stuff, and his sled is falling apart.
Yes, but then
like
he...
a little disc.
Yes, but then he comes back in and hits a ramp that shoots him way down, and he pulls in right before Danny. Yeah.
And crashes into the ocean.
But then Ash gets his... Sea Ruby badge!
And the wave that he made when he crashed into the water made a rainbow.
You are correct, because the sun shined through it.
And then again, the disc when it was spinning down the hill, again, is in the intro.
When he crashes into the water, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of scenes from the intro in these Orange Island episodes, because the Orange Island episodes are... There's a lot less of those than there are the main series, so...
A lot more of those, do you mean?
There's fewer Orange Island episodes than there are of the main series. So that intro, which uses a lot of Orange Island stuff. Alright, so yeah. See Ruby badge. That's probably your favorite badge this time around, huh?
Yeah.
And speaking of Ruby, our next episode is Snack Attack. And this one was a lot of fun for a few reasons. But, so the gang arrive on an island and find fruit growing on trees. And I think it was like grapefruit. And so, because I think they end up calling these the Grapefruit Islands. And so they grab some to eat, but then they are called thieves by a woman.
Who comes and tries to snack them?
Yeah. What was her name?
I don't know.
Let me think for a minute. Let me try to remember.
As I mentioned, and I segued into this based off the Sea Ruby badge.
Ruby?
Her name is Ruby.
I didn't pay attention to her name.
But then they learn that something has been stealing a ton of the grapefruit. And, along with it, many branches off the trees, too, go missing. So, I mean, really? You thought it was these kids?
Well, at first, the group even thought it was, when Ash and Co. find out, they're like, it's probably Team Rocket, and they see the branches, and they're like, is it Toot?
Which, I mean, is a good guess. Team Rocket's always up to something, right?
Yeah.
But apparently there's... These grapefruit are being grown all over, like, five or something islands. I don't remember how many. There was a bunch of islands.
I think five.
Was it five?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. And they find out that it's a Snorlax that's eating them all. And he's consuming a ton. They even learn that Snorlax, I think with the Pokedex, they learn that Snorlax eats so much that they have to, like... So they start scrambling. They call to the other islands to start packing up the grapefruit and picking it and stuff before Snorlax can get to them.
He pulls out the Pokedex to find out what Snorlax is. But we had Snorlax before, blocking up the whole water and everything.
Yes.
And then he ate the thorns.
But I think this helped us to learn how much a Snorlax eats, which was important. So yeah, they're trying to rescue all the grapefruit they can. He's consuming the whole island that they're on right now. And they try other things too, like where they pick some for him to like distract him while they go get the others, but it doesn't work. And he gets through like one whole island and then moves on to the next.
Well, they like pick all the fruit and then make a big pile and they're like, now Snorlax won't get it. A big pile on the ground.
Then Snorlax just runs over and eats it.
Yeah. And I don't understand how they thought that was going to work.
Oh, that's right. They were picking it so that they could keep the fruit while he ate the trees. That's what it was.
The way he moves to other islands is very funny.
Yeah? How is that?
Like, it almost, I seen a hippo video where a hippo or something was chasing this boat and would go underwater, pop up, and it kept doing that. And it's basically the same thing Snorlax was doing.
Ah, I see.
He was swimming really fast to each island.
And even though he's swimming so fast, I feel like he would just sink like a rock because he's so fat and heavy.
Fat floats.
But it's like heavy grapefruit he's been eating.
I don't know. I know that my belly floats and my legs, which are much more muscly, sink. When did Team Rocket show up in this episode? I don't remember.
They started picking grapefruit to steal.
Well, they were trying to be thieves to go sell a bunch of grapefruit.
Oh, that's right. They wanted to sell the grapefruit themselves. That's right.
I don't know. I think Snorlax just took grapefruit, though, and then they blasted off or something.
Team Rocket ends up teaming up with Ash and them.
Wait, why?
To deal with Snorlax. Yeah, so on the second island, Team Rocket was already picking grapefruit to steal. But before they can get away with it, Snorlax, followed by Ash and his friends, race towards them. Snorlax begins to eat Team Rocket's stuff, which forces Team Rocket to team up with Ash and the gang to try to stop Snorlax. However, they're all no match for it.
At the beginning, well, very close to when Snorlax showed up, I knew what I thought they should do. I'm so glad what happened. Well, they stopped Snorlax.
Well, yeah, because they started thinking of a different way to deal with Snorlax then, and they all agree on putting it to sleep.
And like, from the beginning, I was thinking, they need to put him to sleep. I really, really hope Jigglypuff is in this episode. And well, Jigglypuff is in the episode.
Yeah, they make this pretty sign and everything.
They're like, we got a stage
and so many colored markers.
Yeah, but before all that, they try some other methods. Like, so Ash and them try to massage Snorlax asleep first.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work.
They're just massaging one leg.
Oh, it's funny.
And then James and Misty have another method to try to do it, but it makes everybody else fall asleep. It makes them all fall asleep or something. What was that?
They were singing like, Misty's like, imagine yourself in this place.
Oh, right. They were trying to do like, yeah. And they all fall asleep instead.
Yeah. I just realized, last time we had a Snorlax, Team Rocket and Ash and Co. teamed up to
That's
wake
true.
Up the Snorlax. Now they're trying to make the Snorlax go to sleep.
Why are they always teaming up with Snorlax?
Because Snorlax is a formidable foe. It's a force of nature. So then Jessie got an idea to use a Snorlax suit and pretend to be Snorlax's mother. But then Team Rocket is sent blasting off from a mega kick.
I thought Team Rocket wanted to sing Snorlax a lullaby, and Misty's like, we want to put it to sleep, not make it mad.
You might be right about that. Now, with Team Rocket gone, Ash's group comes up with the Jigglypuff plan.
They make a whole stage and everything. And they even get, like, markers for Jigglypuff to draw on their faces
so
with.
So many colored markers.
Yeah, this time it's all colored markers instead of
and
just the one.
And they actually have a microphone phone for poor little Jigglypuff who can never find a microphone.
Well, Jigglypuff always carries around the microphone marker, but it always wants that stage with a microphone. Yeah.
So they have a stage all set up. And then they start, like, chanting Jigglypuff or something and clap their hands to get... Because it wasn't working right away. Because they had to get her to notice. Puff. So, like, Jigglypuff, Jigglypuff.
Yeah, so they really want Jigglypuff to sing it to sleep. And their plan is to, like, also, like, somehow manage to catch the Snorlax when he falls asleep before they themselves fall asleep. So it's a pretty precarious plan. And they also don't know where Jigglypuff is. But by chance, they did find Ruby's staff asleep with their faces scribbled on, and they figure that Jigglypuff must be nearby, so that's when they build the stage, like you all were saying.
Oh, yeah, but then they start chanting and clapping, and Jigglypuff comes.
Yes. And so just as Snorlax finishes stripping the second island clean and arrives on the third, Jigglypuff shows up and begins to sing, while Ash and Pikachu somehow stay awake, just barely, like they're fighting it. I think they're also a little further away.
Snorlax.
Yeah. And so then they have to like kind of crawl over and I think Pikachu zaps Snorlax as well. And then Ash throws the Pokeball and then they fall asleep. And of course Jigglypuff once again, you know, decorates everybody's faces, this time in the colored markers. Then later, when Ash and his friends leave the island, Ruby arrives to tell them that the islands stripped bare by Snorlax have since had new saplings start growing.
Yeah, so lots of them.
Yeah, so They'll have plenty again later. And she thanks them for their help, and they all get some...
Well, they think it's Snorlax's footprints, like his magical footprints or something like that, like where he goes.
Oh, sure. Ooh. Oh, that's right. They think that that's what causes it. I forgot about that. And then she gives them some food, I think, to help so that they have some food on their travels. And now Ash has a new Pokemon finally again, which is super exciting. A Snorlax!
Snorlax!
And that is our main part of our episode this week. So that leaves Pokemon cards!
Yay!
Alright, so before we open up our packs, one other thing I didn't mention is the whole Pokemon Day thing. They had a promotion at some stores, or if you ordered off of PokemonCenter.com, you could get a special Cerulege card. So I went ahead and did that. I got some like a pack of cards so I could get Cerulege, because I like Cerulege. I think it's a very cool-looking Pokemon, and look forward to finally getting one in the actual game. Both Pokemon Go and Scarlet and Violet. But yeah, it's a Psychic-type Pokemon in the card game. And it has the special 2024 Pokemon Day symbol in the corner of the picture. And it has Life Sucker, which does 50 damage, heal 30 damage from this Pokemon, so it can heal itself while it does it, because it's sucking life out, which is cool. And then it has Fighting Sword, which does 100 plus damage. If your opponent's active Pokemon is a Pokemon EX or Pokemon V, this attack does 100 more damage.
Can I see this?
So it's good at fighting the stronger, special Pokemon.
Hey, I think I have this card, except that's special. Like, with less glitter.
Yeah, the picture is nice and shiny and glittery, too. Which
I've
is
got some glitter on the edges. I had a really nice
one. I like the glittery one.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Me.
All right, we'll go with Ruby this time. All right, what's your... What did your package look like? What are you opening here?
All right, I either have a Charcadet or the Evolved form. I'm not sure what it is. On the front, and it's Scarlet and Violet Paradox Rift.
Alright, what do you got?
Alright, I have a Pansage, grass type.
Pansage?
Pansage, grass type. It's good at finding berries and gathers them from all over. It's kind enough to share them with friends. My next one is a Gabite, fighting type, evolves from Gible. In rare cases, it molts and sheds its scales. Medicine containing its scales as an ingredient will make a weary body feel invigorated.
Invigorated?
Yeah. Mantike. Yeah, Mantike. That's better. Water. Oh, it has an attack that doesn't need any energy. Boy out healing. Heal 120 damage from one of your benched Pokemon.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It swims along with a school of Remoroid, and they'll all fight together to repel attackers. Minun, electric type. Ability, Buddy Pulse. If you have Plusly in play, whenever your opponent attaches an energy card from their hand to one of their Pokemon, put two damage counters on that Pokemon. The effect of Buddy Pulse doesn't stack.
Oh, that's cool. I like it when you have like a combo of Pokemon. Yeah.
It's fun. Cheers on friends. If friends are losing, its body lets off more and more sparks. My next card is a supporter trainer card. Flip a coin. Oh, she's a Chantel. Flip a coin. If heads, switch in one of your opponent's bench Pokemon to the active spot. If tails, switch your active Pokemon with one of your bench Pokemon.
Huh. Kind of fun.
Yeah, that's sort of helpful in a way.
It can be, yeah.
Technical tool. A Pokemon tool. Trainer. Technical machine evolution. The Pokemon this card is attached to can use the attack on this card. You still need the necessary energy to use this attack. If this card is attached to one of your Pokemon, discard it at the end of your turn. It's a normal energy. Evolution. Choose up to two of your benched Pokemon. For each of those Pokemon, search your deck for a card that evolves from that Pokemon and put it onto that Pokemon to evolve it. Then shuffle your deck. Durant. Metal type. With their large mandibles, these Pokemon...
Mandibles.
With their large mandibles, these Pokemon can crunch their way through rock. They work together to protect their eggs from Sandaconda.
Hmm.
Ooh, fancy thing. Trainer card item. Techno Radar Future. It's got like a weird like.
Oh, you got a future
shimmer
card.
Shimmer on all of it. Yeah.
Let me see. Full on shimmer.
Ooh, that's really fancy. Well, that's cool that you got a future item. I didn't know that we're doing that with items too.
Yeah, but it's like a really cool dark. Just a minute. Like dark and silver. You can use this card only if you discard another card from your hand. Search your deck for up to 2 future Pokemon, reveal them, and put them into your hand, then shuffle your deck.
Nifty.
Ooh, my reverse holo is a Nickit, dark type. Cunning and cautious, this Pokemon survives by stealing food from others. It races its tracks with swipes of its tail as it makes off with its plunder.
Ooh,
Iron Moth. It's got like a silver thing. It's also a future Pokemon, fire type. No records exist of this species being caught. Data is lacking, but the Pokemon's traits match up with an object described in an old book. I got psychic energy. Another Pansage, another Gen.
Well, that's very cool. Some cool future Pokemon.
See, that's why I wanted to open Paradox.
Yep. All right, Rosella, what was your package?
Mine was Scarlet and Violet, Paldean Fates, and it has a Cerulege on the front.
Nice. I like Cerulege, as previously noted.
That's why I wrote it. So my first Pokemon is Mastiff. It's a dark type. It always scowls in an attempt to make opponents take a seriously, but even crying children will burst into laughter when they see my chief's face.
Interesting.
Barboach. Fighting type. Its two whiskers provides a sensitive radar. Even in muddy water, it can detect its prey location.
Handy.
The Chonk. Normal type. It searches for food all day. It possesses a keen sense of smell, but doesn't use it for anything other than foraging. Execute.
Hey!
Psychic type.
I thought they were grass type.
Both.
These Pokemon get nervous when they are not in a group of 6, the minute even one of the group goes missing, execute become cowardly.
Hmm.
Camerupt, a fire type, evolves from Numel. It lives in the crate of a volcano. It is well known that the humps on its back erupt every 10 years.
Hmm.
Grapplelock. Evolves from Plabberpuss, fighting type. Search for an opponent to test its skills against. It emerges into land. Once the battle is over, it returns to the sea. Nimona's backpack.
Ah, Nimona.
Who is she again?
She's the one who always wants to battle us in Scarlet and Violet.
I have no idea.
We fight her right before we get into the city with the school.
It's a trainer card. Put up to 2 Nimona cards from your discard pile into your hand. Then my reverse holo, I'm pretty sure, is a Charmeleon. Evolves from Charmander.
Oh, Charmeleon. I bet you're so disappointed by that.
And it's a fire type. When it becomes agitated during battle, it spouts intense flames, incinerating its surroundings. Then another reverse holo is a Revaroom.
Revaroom! I like Revaroom.
It evolves from Varoom. It's a metal type. It creates a gas out of poison in it and minerals from rocks. It then detours the gas in its blenders, now numbering
cylinders
now numbering 8 to generate energy. And ability Rumbling Engine, you must discard an energy card from your hand in order to use this ability. Once during your turn, you may draw cards until you have 6 cards in your hand.
Cool.
I can never tell where its mouth is. Now I think it's a top with this. It has a tongue sticking, but it looks like there's. It's confusing. Then Cliv, a supporter trainer card. It's a like a picture with just words on the picture.
Oh, sweet. It's Clive.
Clive.
That's cool.
Can I see?
Your opponent reveals their hand, and you draw 2 cards for each supporter card you find there.
Nifty.
Basic fire energy.
All right, my turn. So, I have opened up a Scarlet and Violet Paldean Fates as well, and it has some kind of, I don't know, yellow Pokemon in front. I'm not sure what it is.
It's a Pikachu.
Oh.
Pikachu
oh.
is ashamed of
I've never heard of Pikachu.
Pikachu is ashamed of
you. Alright, so what do I got? I have Woobat, psychic type.
Woohoo!
It emits ultrasonic waves as it flutters about, searching for its prey, bug Pokemon. I have Phampi, a fighting type. This Pokemon lives and nests on riverbank. After playing in the mud, it won't be able to settle down unless it washes its body. Deden, psychic type. It's small and its electricity generating organ is not fully developed, so it uses its tail to absorb electricity from people's homes and charge itself. Noibat, dragon type, with psychic and dark for its move. It's kind of a cool picture, too, of it flying by a city or something at night. This Pokemon emits ultrasonic waves from its large ears to search for fruit to eat. It mistakes Applin for its food. So,
poor Applin, always being...
I have 2 Pokemon that are bat-like, and yeah, Woobat and Noibat, both using ultrasonic waves. It's a very batty time here. Which is funny in relation to the last part of last week's story. Then I have a trainer card, Iono, the electric gym leader from Scarlet and Violet. Each,
I want her
sweet. You mean like her jacket thing? Each player shuffles their hand and puts it on the bottom of their deck. If either player puts any cards on the bottom of their deck in this way, each player draws a card for each of their remaining prize cards. Ooh. I have Kilowattrel, evolves from Wattrel. It's an electric type, in case you didn't know that kilowatt was in reference to electricity. Kilowattrel inflates its throat sac to amplify its electricity. By riding the wind, this Pokemon can fly over 430 miles in a day.
Wow.
Hey, I got Clive as well, but just a regular version of it, not the cool, like, full art fancy thing you got.
Wow.
Or alternate art, or whatever. Your opponent reveals their hand, and you draw 2 cards for each supporter you find there. Just like you said.
Wait, my Clive...
Yeah, mine's just uncommon because it's not the special art. Yeah, that must be... Here, can I see it?
Well, I believe I have a 3-star fire energy, so...
Yeah, it's also, like, number 227 out of 91, so it's definitely, like, a secret rare or whatever.
Ooh. I've got secret rare. Not very much.
You're gonna be hard to get.
So then, for my reverse holo, I have a Heat Rotom.
What?
So Rotom can take on different, like, shapes.
Can I see the picture?
This one is, like, a oven, I think. It's like a microwave. If the convection microwave oven is not working properly, then the Rotom inhabiting it will become lethargic. And it's a fire type, obviously.
Yeah.
Seeing it's a heat Rotom. Ooh! I got in, like, extended art or full art or alternate art or whatever you call it, Pommy. The pads of its paws are... can't read it with the fancy stuff down here. The pads of its paws are electricity discharging organs. Pommy fires electricity from its forepaws while standing unsteady on its hind legs.
How many paws?
It has the 2 hand paws and then the back ones. The forepaws and the... Oh, forepaws means like the front paws.
Okay.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
I want that to change this.
And one of them's pink. Is that the shiny form?
Wait, can I see?
Yeah, there's a bunch of regular colored ones, and then there's a
pink
one.
There was only one pink one.
No, there's a bunch laying on top of the log and one next to it.
Wait, my Clive has a little grape symbol.
I guess it's a girl
thing
yeah.
for the school.
Yeah, I thought girl at first too, but I realized that they don't really do that color coding with the Pokemon. So
I'll trade you this for that. I'll trade you
only Nidorans though.
I'll trade you this for that.
Well, maybe there's another one. I don't know, but Nidorans.
I'll trade you one of my Seekers for that. That you like better than some stupid old Clive.
It's a 2-star.
I mean, mine's only a 1-star, so.
I have a 3-star.
Just give it to me. I want it.
No, go away. And that's actually my last card either. I also have Houndstone, psychic type. It evolves from Grievard. Lovingly mourned Pokemon was reborn as Houndstone. It doesn't like anyone touching the protuberance atop its head. And then I have a basic psychic energy. And that is our episode this week. Thank you all for listening. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production, and we are on the Hunterfield Institute channel on YouTube. Just look for the Routes Through Pokemon playlist. We are also on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other things. So go ahead and find us wherever, like us, rate us, leave comments, review, rate, all that stuff. And I'm also often commenting on X or Twitter. And it's Shaylock at Hunterfield Inns. And if you really want to get in touch with us or have any questions or ideas or anything like that you want to throw at us, you can reach out to us at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. And so next week we will be tackling the last half of Volume 5 of the manga, as well as another collection of episodes from the Orange Islands, which I think might even include another Jinx episode. That might be a week after that, though. I don't remember. And, so that's it this week. Thank you again for listening, and we will catch you on the next route. Bye! Part 7. Violet's First Match, or Horsey Gets a Name.
I choose you, Mizu!
The horsey perched upon Violet's shoulder leapt down to confront her opponent's purple Nidoran. The two Pokemon stared at one another as they awaited the commands from their trainers. Then, at the exact same time, both Violet and the boy shouted,
Nido! Use Leer!
Bubbles issued from out of Horsey and sail toward the Nidoran. The eyes of the purple Pokemon stared out at Horsey, and they were magnified and warped by the bubbles floating toward him. This seemed to shake the water Pokemon, but the bubbly water also ended up snapping in the Nidoran's eyes. They winced from its stinging.
Watch out, Mizu!
Violet shouts.
I think he's gonna charge at you.
Sure enough, the young boy points at the Horsey and tells his Nidoran to tackle. Despite Violet's warning, her Pokemon doesn't respond right away, shaken from the leer effect of Nidoran, and is unable to defend itself as well as it had meant to. Horsey is knocked back hard, but not as hard as it could have been, as Nidoran didn't quite make a straight shot. It seemed Horsey's bubble had been quite critical in that moment, as the Nidoran's eyes were still stinging and blurry from the attack. Both Pokemon already looked a bit battered and weary, neither of them too used to fighting yet. Midori watched intensely at the battle taking place, able to see that each Pokemon could probably take about one more hit, and that Nidoran was fast and knew more moves than little Mizu. It wasn't looking great, but Midori did take comfort that it wasn't over super quickly, and it wouldn't be a humiliating defeat for either of them, as they both got their licks in. Violet could see that things were looking pretty grim for Mizu, and she stood a really good chance of losing. For just a brief moment, she even thought to try and play helpless beginner girl and trick the boy into going easy on her, or at least get his guard down. But she didn't want to encourage his attitude, nor did she want to win in such a cheap way. If she was going to win, she would do it right. And if she lost, well, that would just be the way it was. This was her first real battle, after all. Who could blame her?
All right, this is it, Mizu. Let's give it our best shot. Bubble!
And just as the horsey sent another barrage of bubbles, the boy cried out his last command that seemed foolish to Violet. He told Nidoran to use Leer again, which did shake the water Pokemon some, but it didn't matter, as that last shot of bubble was all that was needed to finish off the Nidoran.
Oh, man!
The boy reached his Pokeball out, and a beam of light shot off and collected the Nidoran back into the Pokeball where it can rest. Not daring to celebrate until she was certain her opponent was defeated, Violet jumped into the air once the Nidoran was returned.
Yes, I did it!
She looked over to the youngster and put a hand on her hip.
Well, how was it being beaten by a girl?
Violet! The boom of Midori's voice echoed through the caves of Mount Moon, and there were the sounds of shifting rock, skittering feet, and screeches coming back in response, startled or angered by the sound. The girl turned and looked at her father's stern face and knew instantly that she must have done something wrong in his eyes. She didn't speak, waiting to hear what he had to say. The young boy also was staring at the man, shaken by the sudden shout himself. Midori opened his mouth to speak, but closed it again when he noticed that the boy was also watching him. Instead, he breathed in deep to give himself time to think how best to handle the situation without embarrassing anyone. He cleared his throat and then stepped forward, collecting Horsea and administering a potion to it as he brought the Pokemon back to Violet. You did well, Violet. Midori looked up toward the boy and said, You both did, and you will do even greater if you both learn something from this experience. But if you didn't, let me give you this little sliver of wisdom I was told years ago. Your ability as a trainer is only a piece of the puzzle on whether you win or lose. Many things can happen in a match, and you never win or lose on your own. Midori looked back and forth between the boy and Violet, watching to see if any of what he had said sunk in. He knew Violet well enough to know she was at least mulling it over, if not coming to some understanding. But the boy was anybody's guess. He just stood there staring, and Midori wondered for a moment if the kid hadn't maybe fallen asleep with his eyes open. All right, congratulate one another and then we can all move on, Midori said, waving a hand back and forth to each of them. The pair looked at one another, uncertain on what to do exactly and not really sure they wanted to do whatever it was. Violet had scrunched up her face as if she thought the boy smelled like a muck, and the boy had a bruised ego from being beaten. But instead of just ignoring Midori completely and going their own way, they were stuck. At one level or another, they both seemed to fear Midori. The man sighed, realizing they both had a lot to learn in sportsmanship, and he realized that their isolated living had not really given Violet practice in that area. Oh, come on! We don't want to spend the rest of our lives in this cave, do we? When it seemed like Violet was about to answer that she might actually want to do that if it meant not having to congratulate her opponent, Midori quickly answered his own question. We don't. Trust me. The mischievous Clefairy alone are enough of a reason not to linger. Violet struggled, knowing she was going to have to go through with it, but really resisting. So Midori took his foot and swung it right into Violet's butt, pushing her forward and forcing her to make the first move. The two got just close enough to shake if each of their arms were stretched out straight in front of them.
Good match.
Violet grumbled, and the boy said the same. Then they both reached out and shook once, as quickly as possible, and then retreated from one another. Midori rolled his eyes. Well, that'll have to do for now. He looked over at the youngster. Hey kid, be careful through here, all right? There was a cave-in earlier and some shady people roaming around. You see anyone with an R on some kind of uniform, you stay away from them. Oh, and you just might want to change your attitude about girl trainers before you reach Cerulean City. There's a reason Misty is a gym leader, all right? The boy was startled at that revelation, and then he nodded quickly before rushing off further into Mount Moon. All right, we should get moving too, Violet.
Fine.
Violet had her arms crossed and kicked at a small rock in the ground as she started to trudge along after her father. She wasn't particularly pleased with him at that moment. Midori sighed again. It was going to be a long trek out of the mountain. To be continued.